Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day to you. Right now we are live from the Sony Open in Hawaii. It is an absolutely phenomenal day. The water is quiet and the sun is slowly coming up. I can see the Koko crater just in the distance. Diamond Head crater is on my right. It's a beautiful, beautiful day for the Sony Open in Hawaii, moving day. But I just got to tell you, 20 years ago today, the Golf Channel ceremonial switch was flipped by Arnold Palmer. It was January 17th. They're celebrating the 20th year. Cool. They're here broadcasting the Sony Open in Hawaii on the Sony's birthday. 50 years, a PGA Tour event has been played in Hawaii. This is the 17th year Sony has been the sponsor. Sony Open in Hawaii. Joe Gibbs started off the Golf Channel media entrepreneur out of Birmingham, Alabama, thought of this 24-hour Golf Channel idea. And with a little help from a friend, including investment capital from many and Arnold Palmer, Golf Channel, as it's known now, is available to 82 million pay television households. That's 71.88% of the households with the television, and is seen in 82 countries. So happy birthday, Golf Channel, Hauli Lahanao. Moving day at the Sony Open, celebrating its 50th birthday today. PGA Tour full field event played in Hawaii for 50 years, 17 of them sponsored by Sony Corporation. And this is all, of course, part of the PGA Tour FedEx Cup Series. We've got multiple time winners. Four men have won two times: Hubert Green, Corey Pavin, Lanny Watkins, and Ernie Els. And we'll just see how Jimmy Walker does. He's not that far back on the leaderboard. Next, we've got to take care of the people who thank. Let's thank the people who make this show possible. We've got a couple of wonderful men coming up to talk to us about how the PGA of America works in Hawaii, and how you, if you are sandbagged, can send a message anonymously to the person to let them know that you know. We'll be back right after this.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, customer, single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. Call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Systems that can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company.
We're going off on two T's this morning, and that is because there are so many men who made the cut, including a 16-year-old young man from Hawaii. We'll be talking a lot about Kyle Supa in just a second. But first, the leaders, they're teeing off at 12:30. We've got Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, and Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is a rookie on the tour. Can you imagine going up against Matt Kuchar and Webb Simpson? Of course, after shooting a 61 yesterday, Justin's probably feeling, a little bit nervous, maybe to give us an idea of what those nerves feel like. After shooting a 61, we have with us the honorary president of the Aloha Section PGA. He's also the director of golf here at Wailea Country Club. His name is John Harmon. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Now, tell me, after shooting a low score 61, what do you feel like for the next day coming up? It's moving day. This is a big day.
Well, I've never shot a low score of 61, so my feeling would be, I think, for these guys, they go out there and they shoot the great scores like that. Their next day, they're not going to try and match that. They're going to try and stay within their game plan. And, you know, once they just start putting and making those putts, it just sort of just rolls forward. You know, I think if he comes in thinking, I want to shoot 61 again, you know, that's a real high accomplishment. You just really try and come in and you have a game plan. These guys have a game plan.
Exactly.
And they want to come in, shoot 3-4 under. If they get a good roll, they'll shoot 5-6-7-8 under. You know, so that really helps.
And we've got birdies and eagles with no wind protecting the Wildlife Country Club. These are some awesome matches to watch on television.
Correct. We're in prime condition right now for these players. We're not used to this here on a normal basis. We usually have our 20 to 30 mile hour trade. During the winter months, the trade turns into a little Kona, and we're right in that middle where there's just no wind.
Yeah.
So these guys are going to, it's like throwing darts on a big dartboard right now.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Kyle Supa, 16 years old, Punahou, he's been with the Aloha section, in a way, because he was on the amateur team when we had the John A. Burns Governor's Cup.
Correct.
And that was played over at the Mid-Pacific Country Club, also a Seth Rayner course. Here we are at Wildlife. How did he earn his spot in the Sony Open?
That's a Governor's Cup spot. All the amateurs play all year long. They play different multiple events, and they get points for these events. And from all the amateurs, we're talking about hundreds of amateurs, they pull up the top 12 amateurs, and then they finally qualify. Usually approximately a month prior, so early December, they came out here, and there's 12 amateurs that qualified. I believe he shot 67 to qualify.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did, and it was a windy day.
It was. It was a nice windy day. We're very proud of Kyle. I can say that because we watched him grow up since the age of 6 or 7.
He lives here. He lives real close by, right?
He lives right across the street. He lives walking distance, and you know his father, Mr. Ray Supa, worked and trained him for many years. He's got a lot of different teachers involved, and so we're all very proud of him.
And do you think home course advantage had anything to do with his success?
I think it helps. I think it's going to help calm some nerves down because he's been out there before,
mm-hmm.
so he knows what's going on. You know, on the first tee and on the 10th tee might be a little tougher with the crowd, but once he gets out there, then he'll feel like, hey, gosh, I've done this before. I've been here before. I've been close to here before. So I think it really helps.
We're talking with John Harmon, he's the director of golf here at Wildlife Country Club, and he's the honorary president of the Aloha Section, PGA. Just wanted to ask you, that $80,000 that the PGA of America decided to give to the sections? Because you guys have to raise money to keep
Correct.
Yourselves going.
ADP funding. First thing, I'm not the director of golf. Kevin Carl is our head golf professional,
yeah.
and I own the golf shop. But I am the honorary president of Aloha Section, PGA. There's little... It's just different separations of things. But, you know, Kevin Carl is a great
head professional. I knew he was the head professional,
yeah, yeah.
but I always thought of you as being,
well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But
back to the ADP funding.
Yeah.
Nationally gave our section, as well as
all the sections,
a little more money, which is great because, as you know, and as a lot of people know, golf has been descending in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we've got to the point where we're at par. We've lost some golf courses nationally, closed down or shut down or renovation, did different things with the golf course. But I think we're now, in the late 90s or early mid-90s, there was a big boom, and golf courses were coming up, dime a dozen. And now, you know, now that it's restructured of everything and golf play has gone down as compared to that time, I think we're at par level, and we'll start moving a little bit up. I don't think we're going to go crazy like in the early 90s and the late 90s.
It's great what the Masters, the PGA of America, the USGA are doing, the drive chip putt that's bringing kids. We've got a great Hawaii State Junior Golf Association.
Correct.
Kyle Supa has played in the Asia Pacific Cup.
Correct.
Right, yeah. Over and over again. He is on the champion team of the U.S. Junior Cup.
Yes.
For the first time, Hawaii's team won since the 1990s. I think it was 94. So we've got some really strong juniors, but this drive chip putt is bringing more of them in, don't you think?
I think so. I think it helps. It brings, you know, in Hawaii, we were actually the first state to launch it. Hilo Muni was actually the very first golf course to launch a drive, chip, and putt, which the Masters
you get to play the practice
range on a Masters, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Beautiful practice facility. I've been on the course.
Absolutely. I think it's a great way. Part, you know, we thank Augusta as well as PGA of America to endorse this, and it has helped. It's brought a lot of different people. And you go to these events, these qualifying, and there are kids that have been playing golf for years, and there's kids that just picked up the club just right then and there and just say, I want to give it a try.
That's
you
awesome.
Know, and that's what we want to see.
That's awesome.
You know, and hopefully we can grow it from there. And it's been growing. It has been growing. You know, it's going to start up, I think, pretty soon again because the Masters is right around the corner, April of this year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sony Open in Hawaii is the title sponsor. They've sponsored the Hawaiian Open.
Correct.
For 17 years now. It's the Sony Open in Hawaii. They give the local folk quite a few sponsor exemptions with the with Kyle Supa getting hit in as an amateur, right, after the Governor's Cup. Then there's the PGA.
Garrett O'Mara this year. A few years ago, they gave Dean Wilson came back and played. Parker McLaughlin came back and played. You know, they're very, they try to take care of the locals. I mean, obviously, it's a money issue as well. You know, you're trying to get TV ratings, good players out here. So there's a balance to check on everything. And but I think Sony Open since 1999 was their first year till now. It has been doing a great job. Wildlife Country Club has been hosting an event for the last 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah, so this is the 50th year in our 50th state.
You know, there are some statistics from the PGA Tour. There are some winners from the 20s and the 40s that are considered part of the whole who's won, you know, past champions.
Yeah, we have a few locals. Ted Makalena.
Of course.
You know, David Ishii.
Of course.
Yeah. And then, of course, Isao Aoki, which we consider him a local.
Of course, he's a local. And I've been doing the show for 17 years. And so I've.
Just, really? Yeah. It looks like maybe only a year or two now.
No. It was 1999 when I started.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wow.
1998 was the Grand Slam of Golf, which was when I started it. And then, so my first Sony Open was Sony Open. I don't know anything other than the Sony Open.
it's unique because, the golf business, I've been in for about 20-plus years. I got to a Wildlife Country Club in 97, so I got to see the last and final Hawaiian Open and the very first Sony Open. So it was a very neat process.
Excellent. Yeah. We're talking right now with John Harmon. He's the honorary president of the Aloha Section PGA, and he has a friend who's a friend of me. And this is, I've gotten so much response on social media whenever I tweet or put it on Facebook that if you have somebody, you know they could not have shot that score, but they've just won a trip to Vegas and a 52-inch screen television because theirs was the low score in the event. And you say, there's no way. You sandbagged all of us. But there's nothing you can do. Oh, yes, there is. We're going to talk to the man who created Sandy_Bagger. You can follow him on Twitter, or you can find him at sandbaggeranonymous.com and actually send somebody just this little tiny cute sandbag that says it all. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Kapalua, Maui. It's where champions come to play. In this winners-only field, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions features the best of the best on the PGA Tour. See Zach Johnson, Bubba Watson, Matt Kuchar, Hunter Mahan, and 2014 FedEx Cup champion Billy Horschel play in paradise January 8th through 12th at the Plantation Course. To purchase tickets starting at $20, visit pgatour.com/Hyundai.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why the Acura MDX is designed just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with three separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available Acura Link surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. The Acura MDX. Maybe it's called the beaten path because it can be beaten. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Kyle Supa, the 16-year-old who made the cut, he's the only amateur in the field, tees off at 11:50 on the 10th tee. The leaders go off at 12:30. That's Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, Justin Thomas. He is, by the way, a rookie. And Camilo Villegas, he is in at 11:30. He goes off on the first tee. I don't think he does that very interesting read of the green like a gecko getting down there to check it all out. I think he's got a little bit older and it's a little bit harder to get down like that. It's a beautiful sunrise here at the Sony Open in Hawaii, and we're talking right now with John Harmon. He's the honorary president of the Aloha Section PGA. You folks put on at least 20 tournaments a year, don't you?
Locally, we do. The Aloha Section PGA, head by Wes Walehua, he's our executive director, put on several events, more than, like you said, about 20-plus events for professionals and amateurs. Now, we do one big one for, it's called our Classic Scramble, which is a fundraiser. We can always use people, use volunteers, because what that fund raises, it goes back to the kids' scholarship fund. We try to grow the game of golf here in Hawaii. So whatever we make there, it goes into a foundation, and we try to grow the game. Every year it's been growing, and we're trying to just get that. That's our major event as far as a fundraiser goes.
What month is that in?
Usually it's in late April, March. And, again, you know, we have to coordinate with golf courses what's available.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can check up our website, ASPGA, AlohaSectionPGA.com, and they'll show you all the tournaments that's available for amateurs as well as professionals.
Excellent.
And then, you know, we have that Classic Scramble.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we're supporting it out here this weekend. Our PGA professionals have a hitting cage out in the pavilion out there. They have two big balloon hitting cages,
yeah.
And they're giving free 5-minute lessons. So anybody who wants to come out, meet some of our professionals. We got our president of our section, Steve Murphy, was here yesterday. Our secretary and vice president Lance Takeda from Hilo.
Yeah.
Eddie Lee is from Maui.
Yeah.
And he's a teaching professional.
He's great.
Yeah,
Ledbetter at Wailea.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're all out there today.
Yes.
I know, come on down and, you know, get a lesson, talk to people, meet the professionals, and that's what it's mainly about. So,
okay. Yeah. And one other thing. How is the Maui Open was out of commission for a while, but now it's back in action?
Correct, yeah.
Dunes at Maui Lani is hosting.
Yes.
Are we getting great reaction?
We're getting good reaction. We're, you know, it's slowly, again, you know, 5-6 years ago, golf dropped down a little bit, so we lost a few tournaments.
Yeah.
us on the board looked around and tried to see what we could bring back and revive golf as much as possible from the professional stage to the amateur stage. You know, the whole thing about it is just growing the game of golf. We keep forgetting, you know, we're in the golf business, so we got to get out there and play a little golf as well.
Yeah. That's hard, though.
It is.
You know, it really is hard. But it's real. The worst thing that can happen to you is if you spend some time, you get your game back together, you're working really hard, you're keeping your handicap, you know, and you're honest.
Yeah.
Because it's a game of integrity.
It's a game of integrity.
And, you know, you enter an event and, you know, you put down the accurate one because everybody checks to make sure. Well, they usually check, but sometimes charity events have a hard time checking on everybody's.
I feel a great segue here coming.
We're about to introduce Greg Schlachta. He created Sandy Bagger. It's Sandy _ Bagger on Twitter. It's Sand Bagger Anonymous. It's Sand Baggers Anonymous. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel. Aloha. Yeah, out of necessity, I think, we came up with Sandbagger Anonymous, one word, .com. And it goes back to about 8 years ago when I was invited by a neurosurgeon to come down to South Carolina for a member guest. And we played against somebody with an 18 handicap who shot a 76 against us.
An 18 handicap, eh?
Well,
for people who are not really familiar, an 18, what would they really be shooting?
Well, normally you don't really shoot your handicap. You shoot statistically, you shoot your handicap once every 10 rounds.
Okay, so if you have an 18 handicap, what's your score usually?
Maybe about 90s, mid-90s.
Mid-90s. And here it comes with a 76.
Well, it was actually worse than that, Danielle, because 2 days before, his group won the Harbortown Heritage Classic Pro-Am with another 76.
Harbortown?
Yes.
You mean that with the lighthouse where
yes,
all the guys...
Yes.
That's a hard course to play.
Yeah, and shoot a 76 with an 18 handicap, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Okay, so he shoots a 76 and then another 76, and he's saying, wow, that's amazing. It's a miracle.
Yeah. This is the classic sandbagger says, that was the best round of my life. You know, you can count on that. Well, I had invited my neurosurgeon to play against him, and it just got to him. He could not function the rest of that tournament, and he was just angry. So about a week later, he sent me a website called thepopeofslope.com, and that's Dean Knuth's website on handicapping, sandbagging, and everything else.
And he created the slope system.
Right, that's
which
correct.
All courses are...
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. And so he has this wonderful website on handicapping and on sandbaggers. There's articles on sandbagging all over the place in this.
Pope of Slope,
Pope
right?
of Slope.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So at any rate, I went on that, and I tried to figure, what could you do to stop sandbaggers? And everybody's got an idea. I went and took the USGA handicapping course.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And the presenter said, it's up to the golf committee, the professional, and then said, well, the golf handicap committee seldom makes a big difference because it's members and they don't want to lose the revenue and anger somebody in the club.
The poor
professional is caught in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, and, John. And, yes, he's not.
I've been there before. Yeah, I've been there before.
Yeah. And then she finally said, the only thing we think can stop this is peer pressure. Peer pressure. So I thought, well, how about the Angie's List of sandbagging? And that's what we designed this after. You can nominate. You don't call him a sandbagger, but you can nominate him as a member of Sandbagger Anonymous. You can have him put on the website with an anonymous email.
Right. You're not so no one knows who's done it. You can get a certificate of nomination presented to the person's name. It's this fabulous certificate, and you know, you can have this sent to them.
Correct.
Right?
And it can send anonymously.
Anonymously.
Right.
And no one will know who's done it. If you want something that really represents, I think this is the best here, the sandbag I mean, it says sandbagger, and it's a real sandbag with the canvas, and you feel the sand on the inside. This other cool gag gift is the sandbagger tee with the tees, of course, inside, and there's a ball mark in it, and the ball marks are very cool. And then there's, of course, all of a sudden, I can't remember the
Divot tool.
Thank you, Divot tool. All of these are available online to be observed, ordered, and sent to your favorite sandbagger.
Right. And if you look at the character, he'll look very familiar to you. I had multiple graphic artists try to design what I had in mind as the prototypical sandbagger. Somebody you don't think could possibly beat you on any given day. He can't do it. And he bounces one out a couple of hundred feet, and then all of a sudden he finds his game. And so we couldn't find it, so I went in on the porch, and I dressed like that. And I had my wife take pictures of me. Then I sent it to a graphic artist, the cartoonized Sandy Bagger. And then we trademarked the character and the website and the concept.
And all of these things are for sale right here at Wildlife Country Club in the Pro Shop?
Yes, it is.
In the Pro Shop?
It is. It's a fun concept. It's a neat thing. Doc mentioned it to me before, and we talked about it. I said, you know, it's fun. Hopefully nobody sends me one, because I never win.
Because you're honest.
I expect my mailbox to be full of them. I've had 4 hole-in-ones, and I'm a 17 handicap.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
But as people said, before my surgery on my neck, I used to be a 10. That's like when someone says, well, yeah, I was a college golfer, but then I had family. I haven't played in a while.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a 20 handicap for this tournament. And you know that is they're quite good.
Yes.
And
yes,
they shouldn't be playing with a 20 handicap.
No.
And you can't adjust it. You really can't.
Yeah. No.
So at any rate, this is a way of sending a little message. And it's meant in fun. If you post them on the website, we will monitor any of the stuff that you say about them. Nothing malicious will go out to them.
Excellent.
And,
excellent.
We think it's a fun gag gift and a Christmas pet rock, so to speak, for golfers.
Pet rock for golfers.
Pet rock for golfers.
It's wonderful. Greg Slakta, thank you so much for joining us and for creating this. One more note.
If you are a professional and you're going to the Orlando PGA Show next week, we're at booth number 3201. At the PGA Show this year.
Excellent. You're at the PGA Show, and that's coming up this week. When's your flight?
About 1:30.
About 1:30 this afternoon, you're flying to Orlando to be at the PGA Show.
Correct.
Greg Slakta, John Harmon, thank you so much for being on the show. Absolutely fabulous. Mark Rolfing is joining us next. It looks like he's getting ready to either go fishing or he's just come back from fishing, because I saw him on Golf Channel celebrating their 20th birthday today. I saw him on Golf Channel in shorts and a T-shirt fishing, and they showed you with a fish.
Tough preparation.
He says he's preparing for the telecast. He'll be on right after we take this break. Thank you, John.
You're
awesome.
Welcome.
Thank you, Greg, for being here. Amazing.
Thank
Aloha.
You.
And
Aloha.
I'll continue to support the sandbaggeranonymous.com website and the whole concept. Golf's the game of integrity. Hey, come on, people.
Mahalo.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea for the Sony Open January 12th through the 18th. Come kick off the 2015 tour season with Jimmy Walker, Chris Kirk, Matt Kuchar, Dave Love III, and more. Big names, big action. Tickets at www.sonyopeninhawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Military free with valid ID. Admissions and bag policy apply. Visit www.sonyopeninhawaii.com.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup! What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome. You're in the clubhouse. Our past champions include Russell Henley and Johnson Wagner and Mark Wilson and Ryan Palmer and Zach Johnson. And all these names sound really familiar. Russell Henley's in the field. I'm kind of suspicious. The par three contest at Masters, you know, the guys that win the par three at the Masters don't generally go on to win the Masters. And it seems like when we have a pro-am, you know, the pro junior event, I don't think anyone's who's played in the pro junior event has gone on to win the Sony Open. So the day after, the Tuesday, when the pro junior was happening, there was Russell Henley doing his part, and John Daly was doing his part. They're all there because it's a very cool thing to do. But Russell, on Thursday, I didn't recognize the poor young man. He was having such a hard time keeping in the fairway. He couldn't putt. Here's a guy who had five birdies to win on the last day of the Sony Open back in 2013. Do you want to join me, Mark Rolfing and Alex Maselli? And I won't ask you to comment on what I just said because that's purely my thought. Mark Rolfing, good to see you.
I see you, Danielle, and you too, Alex.
Alex Maselli's joining us. Good
Danielle.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Alex Maselli is a senior writer for Golf Week, and he is also the co-host of a show called The Grill Room Golf Show with Bob Bupka. And you can hear it on TuneIn Radio. You can find it by going to the golfweek.com site. And there's a banner at the top. There they are. Mark Rolfing is a commentator on Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and he's been doing it. I remember when we first met, Mark, I think it was, Maui, Kanapali, and weren't you working for ESPN back then?
That was a long time ago, Danielle. I can't remember who I was working for yesterday, hardly.
So we saw you fishing on television yesterday. They showed you in shorts and a T-shirt. When do you go out fishing?
Well, you have to go out here in low tide because you see where the waves break out there, which is about 200 yards out.
It looks like the reef.
Probably a good maybe 7-iron for Alex.
Uh-huh.
You got to be able to get out to that reef, and you can only do it in low tide.
Oh.
So low tide's in the morning. So I'm going to be out there pretty quickly when we're done today. I'll tell you that.
It's going to have to be.
It was glorious out there yesterday.
What did you catch?
I caught four omilus, which are trevally. They're kind of a prize here in Hawaii, and it's fairly unusual. I mean, I've probably been doing the Hawaiian Open for 20 years, and they have followed me with a camera maybe half of those years to go out there, and I have never come back with a fish till yesterday.
Well, yesterday I saw you with a fish.
Yeah, I did. I had four of them. Yeah.
That's awesome. Great. We've got one amateur in this field. Let's get to the Sony Open in Hawaii. One amateur. His name is Kyle Supa. He's been in the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association playing since, I don't know, he was seven. And he's been Junior America's Cup. They won, the Hawaii team won for the first time since the 90s this year. He's had, well, they didn't do so well in the Asia Pacific Cup. That's when Japan comes over and plays against the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Our team didn't win. The Japanese took vengeance on us. We won last year. So here he is. He kind of like, this is his home course. Raised along Wailea Country Club. Fabulous game. I was watching him. He looked so confident. You said he sent you a text?
Well, I sent him a text last night and just said, hey, way to go. Get yourself a good night's sleep and, you know, go out there and knock him dead tomorrow. And he sent it back. It just reeked of a 16-year-old. Said, thank you very much. I will try my best. It was just hysterical. And I think about how this whole thing has unfolded with Kyle. You know me and my sort of love for Hawaii and all that. Mm-hmm. I had told Tommy Roy, our producer, prior to this to this Sony Open, you know, that there was this kid that had qualified. And I had been thinking about Michelle Wee. It's been 11 years, you know, and of course, Tad Fujikawa comes up all the time still. But I think one of the charms of this tournament has always been we have the potential to have a story unfold, particularly early in the week, not on Sunday afternoon, but early in the week, you know, that's pretty unique to Hawaii. And I said, there's this kid, Kyle Supa, and, you know, we're going to probably have him in our window on Thursday. And everybody was kind of going, yeah, you know, we'll show him on Thursday and show a shot or two and get his little bio and a picture of him. I think we showed 32 shots, maybe just under 35 shots. He really became a story. And whether or not America fell in love with him sort of didn't matter to me, because what happened was the Golf Channel crew fell in love with him, and he was playing great and handled himself well, and it was a great story, and I'm really happy for the kid and for everybody in Hawaii and the HSJGA, too.
That's absolutely – it's a wonderful story. I worry, but have you heard from Tad Fujikawa? You bring up his name.
No, I haven't heard from Tad much. Typically, I'm more in touch with his mom than I am Tad, but, you know, it's such a fine line, Danielle. Alex can pipe in on this one, but, boy – you know, the line between good and the line
and
between being really good is very, very thin.
When you look at the I'm sorry, Alex, did you want to say something before I jump right in there?
No, Danielle, it is your show.
Well, no, but you got to just, like, assert yourself. I know you're capable of that. Well, I listen to your show.
Yes, I am capable of that. Yeah, but Mark is right. If you look at, forget the PGA Tour and the European Tour, if you look at the Web.com Tour and then Tad's on the eGolf Tour or the Hooters Tour or whatever you look at. I mean, there are players. I mean, Chad Campbell came from the Hooters Tour. People don't remember that. I mean, he was out there playing really well and then got to the PGA Tour. There is such a fine line, and it is so, so hard. A friend of ours, as Gary knows, Gary Van Sickle, who's a writer for SI, his son Mike Van Sickle went to Marquette and then had some struggles afterwards, health-wise and everything else, but he's a kid that, if you put him out here, he bombs the ball the whole nine yards. I mean, he's struggling to find a place to play. He finally got into final round of Q school this year. But, I mean, you go out and watch that guy play, and you're like, why isn't he playing somewhere? And it's because it is just so hard.
It's so competitive.
You know, Tad's physical limitations, I hate to say this because it may not come out the right way, but, you know, he is of small stature. And you take a look at the average player on the PGA Tour, and even throughout my career, which is much longer than Alex's has been, you know, the shoe size, when I was out there, the average shoe size was 8.5 or something, and now it's all almost up to 13.
13.
You know,
yep.
The average player is
6'2", 6'3". Yep.
And one of the things out here in Hawaii, we have a lot of really good kids that play well, but they don't have the kind of conditions out here, particularly the rough. You take a look at Tad, I've always felt like his biggest drawback was he's got a very flat swing arc, which you have to have when you're as short as he is. And you get on mainland courses, and particularly courses that have significant rough, it's very difficult for a smaller person to be able to
come down hard.
We've got to come down steep out of the rough. That's why Nicklaus was so good out of the rough. So, you know, he's starting a little bit in the hole, you know, playing against everybody just because of his stature. And I think it's remarkable what he's accomplished, and I wish him the best, but it's tough out there.
Yeah, he's still working at Sea Island, the last I heard, you know, and it is hard. And when you're playing, I was talking to a friend who doesn't know much about golf, but when you're playing in the mini tours, you pay to play. So you make a deposit, you say, hi, here's my entry fee, and then you hope to get that back by winning. And most of the guys, besides that, have to pay for where they're staying, how they're traveling. They need to keep a home because you want to go back to home at some point, right? Or you'll have to go back. It's not an easy life, and it's very, very difficult.
And on the Eve Golf Tour, I think it's actually double. I mean, there's two courses they use, so instead of using just one course, so there's a lot more money in the kitty, but it's even harder to make any money there.
Exactly, to win the money. We have Lexi Thompson's two brothers. Is it Nicholas and Curtis Thompson? I think Curtis got in on Monday qualifying, and there were two qualifiers. There was a pre-qualifier, and then there was a qualifier. Talk about getting into the Sony Open. It was tough. One of them has made the cut. That was great to see. What kind of players are they, Alex?
Well, I talked to both of them this week, actually. Curtis has got his dad on the back, Scott, who, in talking to Nicklaus, who's the one that made the cut, Nick said that, look, you know, my dad was on the bag for me at the beginning of my career for a while, He was on the bag of Lexi for the beginning of his career for a while. He's going to be on Curtis's bag for the beginning, just for the first couple of events on the web.com tour, which is where he's got a card down in the, I think it's Panama and someplace else down in South America. So, you know, I think it's interesting because Curtis is coming from a family where there's been success on the professional tour.
Yeah.
And, but the most successful of all of them is Lexi.
Yeah.
And so you talk to Nick, and I say, hey, Nick, you know, what's that like? He goes, well, a lot of people now say when they see me, they'll say, there's Lexi's brother, versus back in the other time, it used to be the reverse of that. And you know, they all seem relatively grounded. And I go back to the Keeney family, where, you know, there was Kelly and there was Hank and Tripp. And Tripp never played professional golf. He played amateur golf. And I think actually Tripp might have been the best golfer, even though Hank won a U.S. Amateur. And I don't think they were as grounded as the Thompsons are. So it's interesting. And when I went to talk to Scott, the father, yesterday, he was unwilling to talk. I think, you know, at some point you just think, you know, this isn't about me, you know, and I don't want to really get into it. But, you know, Nick's got a kind of an unorthodox swing. I think that's fair to say. Curtis does not have the same kind of swing, and certainly Lexi has got a, you know, pretty good swing, proved by her result.
I think the difference between the Keeney family and the Thompson family, it's interesting. Alex made a great comparison there. In the Thompson family, I see some instinct in playing, you know, especially with Nicklaus. You know, he's got this sort of buggy whip kind of swing that you certainly, it's not, you know, Adam Scott by any means, but it's very efficient. And all three of them, particularly Lexi, they've got great golf instinct. And when I watched Hank Keeney play, I didn't see quite as much instinct. There was power, raw talent, a lot of that. And I think, you know, something about the Thompson family, all of them have this instinct that I really like in golf.
Yeah, so, and when you talk about instinct, you mean like a feel player versus a methodical player?
Just
method player?
Knowing what to do in the right situation. And, you know, even watching Lexi, you know, adapt to Pinehurst number two the week after the men's play-in, you know, you got to have instinct to be able to do that.
Okay.
Particularly for the women, they don't have a chance to practice in conditions like that very often. So, and she played well there, except for a small stretch, really.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we're talking about Luke Donald. You talk about swings. It made me think of Luke Donald, and I heard someone on Golf Channel say, "Now there's the swing." Was that you saying, "Now there's the swing you want to have"?
Well, because I wanted him to stay with his coach Pat Goss forever, who's his coach at Northwestern University, and who really taught Luke how to play at the level that Luke is at now. And of course, he left. He was like a lot of guys. He wasn't, you know, satisfied with what he was doing, and he went to Chuck Cook for, I don't know, a year and a half, I guess it was, Alex, maybe, and, you know, thought maybe he could become a better driver of the golf ball, and he became a little more mechanical, I thought, and I liked what I saw from him. He's kind of out playing golf again. He got away from playing golf for a little while.
Yeah, because he is such a good player.
Well, you know, you talk about stature out here in regards to size, and Luke Donald is certainly not a long hitter. He's an anomaly to some extent, but he thought his way around the golf course very well. He still does, but his short game was impeccable. Even Jack used to say he'd see him at the Bears Club all the time practicing, and it was amazing how good his short game was. And that was his short game got him to world number one. It wasn't his driver, but, you know, I think he played at Marion with Justin Rose and just said, hey, you know, I want to be like that. I want to have that game. And, you know, when you're 30 years old or whatever it is, to make that adjustment is hard. But he's not the first one. He's not the first one to make a change. I mean, I was talking this in the car yesterday.
See Tiger Woods.
That's exactly right.
See Tiger Woods.
What I don't understand about that is, so Tiger stopped doing what he was doing with Butch to move on. Now we're 10 years later. And now he's full circle. Believe me, that's the first question when I see him, even though we don't really have a great relationship. That's my first question is, well, why did you stop that? Why did you stop that in the first place? And he's not the only one. It's a constant. There's only one guy I know that made an adjustment, a significant adjustment, and it made sense for him in the end, which was Nick Faldo. I mean, Faldo made an adjustment that I think he needed to do. But Tiger's a good example. You know, Luke Donald, and the thing about Luke is he feels so much more comfortable with what he's doing now, you know, and talking to him this week than he did with Chuck. I remember seeing him with Chuck. I mean, he's trying to pull it left as hard as he can, and Chuck got this. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, wow, 20 handicapper out on the range. I mean, that's what it looked like.
Well, we're going to take a break, but I just got to say that it was really an amazing moment when I heard Tiger Woods say that what he was asking me to do was something I physically could not do. And for Tiger Woods to say that he could physically not do something, that was pretty amazing. We're going to take a break. We're talking right now with Mark Rolfing and Alex Maselli. Alex Maselli, senior writer for Golf Week. And Mark Rolfing celebrating probably Golf Channel's 20th birthday, I would say.
Today it is. Happy birthday to us.
Yes. We'll be back after this. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. We've kind of taken over part of the clubhouse here at the Wailea Country Club, which happens every January for the Sony Open in Hawaii. We're looking at the sun come up over the beautiful, just calm waters of the Pacific Ocean. And I can see Koko Crater in the distance. It's a gorgeous morning. And if you can come out to watch the best players in the world, okay, fine. So the best players in the world are here, but, you know, of the 124 guys on the PGA Tour, pretty much at this point, any one of them could win, given the right conditions, if they're in the right frame of mind, if they've got their right stroke, everything's working. You know how golf is? You're not a machine. You just can't do it perfectly. Otherwise, it wouldn't be golf. We're talking with Mark Rolfing. He's golf commentator for NBC Sports and Golf Channel. And Alex Maselli is the Grill Room Golf Show co-host with Bob Bupka, senior writer for Golf Week magazine. And how long have you been working at this? You started golf.com.
Right.
Right? How long ago was that?
It would have been 20 years ago.
20 years ago. Okay. I thought that was insightful of you to actually go for that. And
you did.
Yes, I did. I thought I was impressed.
Not my wife wasn't.
Of course. Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas, he's a rookie. He's a kid. He's all of a sudden, what, he's 61 yesterday?
Justin Thomas is really good. Remember, you heard that. You're really good.
You think this isn't like Russell Henley was so good 2 years ago. And, we, you know, we're like, Russ, he's doing okay still, right? So you expect Justin Thomas to be better?
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm going to say yes, too. I'm going to say yes, too. He is really good.
Ooh.
You know, when I was at Glen Eagle with Jack Nicklaus, he was doing some stuff on Sky, and we were walking out, and we were talking about, as we were getting our rear end stumped again, where has it come? How are we going to switch things around? He said, well, one of the things is it's going to be the younger players that are quite interesting because Justin Thomas and Patrick Rodgers are actually roommates in Florida. Patrick Rodgers went to Stanford, is now actually on the web.com this year. But that's the beginning of where we're going to start seeing a somewhat of an American resurgence, I think, in the next 5 or 10 years.
I'm glad you bring that up because so many times people say, we need to move the Hyundai Tournament of Champions back to the West Coast because we're not getting the top players. And I'm like, what? We had 34 players at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. The Sony Open of Hawaii doesn't attract the top players in the world. Well, right now, the top players in the world happen to be Europeans who play on the PGA Tour. And if I were having Christmas break with my family, I'd probably, let's see, go back to Mom and Dad, and they live where? The UK, wherever. Sweden, Germany. Where are you going to go, right, after that? What are your thoughts on what they when they say things like this, Mark Rolfing?
Well, my first thought is it's not a level playing field in the world of golf right now. The Europeans are not on vacation. They're playing in Abu Dhabi in the Middle East, which is part of the European Tour. And frankly, world rankings are everything. They mean everything when it comes to these players today. And you have a situation where players are allowed to be paid appearance money in Abu Dhabi. They are not at the Sony Open. It's very expensive. It's probably a $10,000 trip for a player and his family to come from Florida. And these other guys are getting paid $1 million or $2 million, or depends on their stature, over in Abu Dhabi. And so off they go. So there's an inequity there. The real problem is when you put ranking points into a pot for a tournament, it's heavily weighted toward the top. So if you have a Rory McIlroy, the number one player in the field, and you maybe have number one, number two, number four, let's say, in the world in your field, basically what happens is there's a slew of world ranking points sitting there. And a player can go to Abu Dhabi this week and finish top 10. He only really has to beat a mediocre field in the middle of a European field.
Yes.
Compared to the Sony Open. He can pile up world ranking points, and you start getting in this club. Once you get in that world ranking point club, it's pretty hard to get kicked out.
Alex?
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. But I always have a problem with people saying they need to have better fields. There are numerous events on the PGA Tour, Phoenix, the first one, Colonial, Byron Nelson. These are events that you generally don't have the best players in the world showing up, and yet they're great golf tournaments. So, I mean, I don't know if Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Adam Scott, Henrik Stenson showed up this week. There'd be more people here, yes. But, I mean, is it appreciably more? Is it going to make the tournament so much better that it's going to be better than anything else? Or are we going to enjoy seeing Matt Kuchar and Justin Thomas and Webb Simpson going down the stretch on a Sunday afternoon? And my answer is yes, we will. And so I don't ever have a problem with fields.
I totally agree. It's a brilliant statement. And to me, Daniel, if you look at Hawaii and Wailea and the fact that it's 50 years now that we've been playing PGA Tour golf, there's only a couple of tournaments on the entire tour that have been longer at the same place. The single most important thing for a tournament is to develop a personality. You have to have a personality, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have the best players to do that. And you take a look at the most successful and the best golf tournament in the world, it's the Masters. It has a personality. The U.S. Open has a personality. The British Open has a personality. But even within the PGA Tour itself, the places that develop personalities, Phoenix he brought up, the Shell Houston Open decided they were going to try to develop a personality down there, and they have slowly gotten there, and it has worked. And that tournament is becoming more and more successful. This tournament, the Sony Open, has its own personality. It's great for what it is, and I wouldn't change that for anything.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think we have a fabulous tournament, and I've got to bring up Phoenix again because Phoenix has a personality unlike any other, and I don't think they could get away with it any other place, but the 16th hole is amazing. I wish there were more 16th holes, frankly, but it is what it is. We have it there. Now, the PGA Tour has decided that no one can throw things up to the fans on the 16th hole. It used to be you could just lob a football if you wanted to, or a golf ball, of course, up into the... And now the PGA Tour says, no, you can't do that anymore. I think that's completely, I posted on Facebook, why are they taking the fun out of this tournament, this one hole? Why, it's a party, and it makes brings the kids. I did not get one person who said, I agree with the PGA Tour, they shouldn't be throwing things. Your thoughts? Who wants to go first?
Well, I think, first of all, let's back up. I have to disagree with your premise that taking the fun out of the 16th hole, because most of those people are having more fun than they know what to do with. So I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Okay.
And talking to Andy Passer, who made the decision for the PGA Tour.
You're the one who broke the story, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, but in talking to him, it's a legitimate concern about safety, because there are certain people that don't mind if somebody tosses his hat up there. They don't have to jump to get the hat. There are other people that will jump to get the hat. And that person that jumps can either harm himself or harm others. Andy had said to me, look, I don't have a problem with guys walking along the line and handing stuff up. I just don't want them to throw it so that we're creating a situation where it could get out of hand. And believe me, that tournament had been out of hand before. They reined it back. Now it's starting to get back to a place where it might be a little questionable. Again, I think the tour, and I don't even think they have the liability here, because I think it would be the tournament that actually would have the liability. But the bottom line is it's a safety issue. They're concerned about the fans. It's pretty hard in this environment to say that's not a good decision.
Okay. Okay. Mark?
Well, I think Alex is right. I don't think there's one person in Phoenix that's going to decide I'm not going to that tournament because a player can't throw me a hat. So it's not going to have any kind of an impact. Whether guys actually adhere to that policy, I mean, yeah, they're going to walk by and try and hand it to a guy, and then maybe he'll fall over the railing trying to get it, and it'll be worse. Phoenix is what it is. They're going to have situations there, and I've been through it. I've had to walk into that arena announcing golf, and, you know, they started yelling, you know, give me an R, give me an O, give me a G, give me an A, and I couldn't figure out where they were going. I realized it was Rogaine. And, you know, I love it. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't want to see it more than 1 week a year, but for what it is, it's fabulous.
What do you think of Tiger Woods deciding to start his year at Phoenix?
You know, I think it's fabulous. Not so much that it's Phoenix. I think it's a good decision for Tiger to want to go back to a different place. You know, he's gotten so regimented in his schedule as to where he plays, and I think it would be really good for him to go to a few places where he hasn't been, where he's really going to be embraced. If you think about Tiger, when he was playing at his best, there were stretches where he didn't play at his best, but the results were still the best. And one of the reasons why is the fans, wherever he went, lifted him and carried him on their shoulders, you know, mentally and
that
psychologically.
Energy, yes.
And it was great energy, and you know, he really needs that right now, because it gets tough for him when he gets in these stretches where he's, you know, not chipping well or doing whatever, and the fans disappear as fast as you can imagine, and I like the decision.
Well, Alex?
I think it's a bad decision.
There you go.
I think it's a bad golf course for him right now. Guy that doesn't really know where the ball is going at times, really doesn't know how to chip. I mean, and you saw, and really, let's be honest, I mean, since, what was it, Bridgestone 2 years ago, Tiger really hasn't played very well, and the last time we saw him play, when he was supposedly healthy, he played poorly. I think he should go somewhere that really would not need him to do some of the things that he's going to need to do at Phoenix. The best place, I would have thought, would have been the desert to go to Havana. The golf courses, the weather is great, the golf courses are relatively easy, the greens are good, and he wouldn't have any issues, and that would be a place he's never been before, and it would be kind of interesting to see what support he would get there.
Well, then why wouldn't you say he should have come here?
Well, I think this golf course, personally, I think this golf course would be hard for him. I mean, it's a great Seth Rainer. It's, you know, the fairways are, even this year, the rough's a little down, but the fairways are relatively narrow, and I think that the chipping and putting around here would be something that it takes time, to gain, even though Justin Thomas is where he is. I think it would be hard for him.
Mm, interesting. Okay. I like the fact that he's decided to go to Phoenix, because I think it'll lift him up. And if he can't get that chip yip out, somebody called it a chip yip. Do you think it's a chip yip?
First of all, What I love about this is Daniel saying, it'll be nice to see him getting lifted up. This is Tiger Woods.
No.
I didn't know he needed lifting.
He feeds off the positive energy. He really...
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
No.
Because he creates so much positive energy. That's why he's lifted by it.
Not necessarily. I don't know. I thought it was a very good idea.
Yeah, he is a fan-friendly guy, so I'm good. I can't wait. Look, when he rolls into 16...
One thing about Alex is he can cement a relationship like nobody else I have ever seen in my life.
My goodness. No, Alex, I understand that you guys are not the best of friends, but when he does sign autographs, and I've heard nice things actually said about Tiger Woods, and I think he'll enjoy the experience and feel it. He takes a lot of heat, and for good reason. And I think forgiving is a really important part of living. And I just think maybe it's a new chapter for him. I would like to see that. I'm not ready to, I don't know. I just think that it's good for him.
He's just a fan. That's okay.
No, I'm not a fan of what he did. Okay?
Well, as a player.
I'm a fan of what I'd like to see him perform well. Again, I'd like to see him perform as well as he can, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's number one again.
Well,
we wrote him off in 2011. He came back in 2012.
Let me tell you why I'd like to see it more than anything else, and it's not even so much for Tiger Woods. Rory McIlroy has yet to deal with Tiger Woods.
That's right. The
Jordan
Tiger
Spieth
Woods
has yet to deal with Tiger Woods, and you think about Phil Mickelson and the era that he was in, and what perhaps he could have accomplished had there been no Tiger Woods. To me, the intrigue of Tiger coming back, I don't think he'll be number one again. I think he will play well in stretches. But what I really want to see is particularly some of these young guys having to deal with Tiger being more like Tiger. To me, it would be immensely intriguing.
I'd like to see him play like that just so the youngsters will know what we're talking about, because they make a big deal out of Rory being... Wow, look at Rory. When Tiger was Tiger Woods, you knew he was going to win. And when he lost to KJ Choi, it was like, what?
Why Yang?
Oh, excuse me, Why Yang?
I was
going
to say, when did he lose
okay,
to
sorry.
KJ Choi?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Forgive me. I don't do this as a profession. I have actual jobs that I have to do.
We didn't want everybody to wander around the house.
No, I'm glad you corrected me. Correct me anytime. But when that happened, that was mind-boggling to people watching golf when Tiger Woods was on his game and playing well.
I think it was a surprise, though, to people that Wai Yang could perform, to hit that shot on that last hole in that situation.
This is true, but
they didn't expect him to do it.
I think he felt Tiger being vulnerable, and I think that gave him the impetus to do it. I think that really worked for him. So thank you for that correction. I really appreciate that. Guys. Okay, this is Alex Maselli. He's a senior writer for Golf Week magazine, and Mark Rolfing is the NBC and Golf Channel commentator, and we've known each other for years, and I've always appreciated your support. I really appreciate the time you spend with me, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. My pleasure, and it gets me revved up for the telecast.
Well, I hope so. Now, aren't you going to go out there in that Oh.
Yeah, no, I am.
Of course we're not.
Oh, you mean, am I going to go fishing to get ready for the show?
No,
yes.
No, in Hawaii, there's a really important thing. You never say that you're going to go fishing, because that gives the fish a chance to get away.
It's scared to death of me.
They feel his mana coming, and as a result, they know that it's time to hide. That's the whole, seriously, that's why you don't say, you're not. See you on the golf course, Mark.
You got it.
We'll be back. We're going to be joined by Stephanie Way. I want to talk a little bit about Lanai with Stephanie. Alex, did you go to Lanai?
I did go to Lanai.
You went to Lanai.
Hey, tell them what you did over there one day.
2000.
Yeah.
A hole in one.
How about that? He had one shot on a hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone just had a hole in one. Oh, Rory McIlroy in his first competitive hole in one.
That was only 177. This was a 200-yard shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on, Danielle. Who's Rory McIlroy?
I don't know. What club did you use?
Three iron.
Three iron? What hole was it on?
It was on 14.
Did somebody take a picture?
I think one day when you're talking to Bob Bupka,
yes,
he will tell you the whole story.
Oh, he was there too?
Oh, he was there too.
Yeah, I think the great part of the story was Alex wasn't actually supposed to be there today. He was supposed to be going incognito that day.
Oh, really?
And then the poor guy makes a hole-in-one, and
how
everybody in the world knows.
Come on, you can't leave us like this. You can't wait till Bob Bupka tells us. You've got to tell us.
I was very excited. Yeah, let's put it that way. I was extremely excited, and I made sure that everybody in the entire island of Lanai knew about it. But then I was shattered, actually shattered, because it's 2000. It's like the sixth day of January. I'm thinking, it's got to be the first hole-in-one in Hawaii. It was like the 30th.
Now, that's a reason to cry.
It's the 30th.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I still have the windsock. The windsock, because, you know, what used to be the Challenge of Manila Bay, which is now not called the Challenge of Manila Bay, they use windsocks as flags. And so
I didn't have the windsock.
Yeah. I went right in, when we were done, I went right in the pro shop and said, I want that windsock. So we'll have to order a new one to put on the thing to take the old one off. So they did. And then I had Jack Nicklaus, who was obviously the designer of the golf course, sign both the ball and the windsock.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And then, unfortunately, his entire century got ruined because that was 6 days into this century, 2000, and he thought he was going to have the story of the year the first week, and then Tiger and Ernie both eagle the last hole and go into one of the great playoffs ever. And, you know, it showed up on page 7, Alex's hole-in-one.
Let me just say this right now. See, that we talk about Tiger and you want him to come back to where he was. Well, I had another hole-in-one last year with Jim McCabe, so my game is still there.
What? How many hole-in-ones have you had? You just keep saying, I had a hole-in-one. Well, how many have you had?
Two.
Oh, those two.
But I spread them out, though.
Okay. And Mark?
I've had one. He said twice as many as me. Now I am going fishing to contemplate my future.
Thank you for laughing with me, Mark Golfing and Alex Maselli.
Thanks, Daniel.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Make Hawaii Charities the big winner of the Sony Open. Show aloha to your favorite charity at friendsofhawaii.org. And your gift gets a boost from the Aloha for Hawaii Charities Fund. Now through January 18th.
Sony Open in Hawaii.
Boost and bless local charities at friendsofhawaii.org. Now through January 18th, show aloha for Hawaii Charities.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The all-new 2015 Acura TLX with integrated dynamic system was engineered with four distinct drive modes that adapt to your every mood. Switch from fuel-saving econ to normal mode. Its responsive personality means the TLX is as thrilling as you make it. Now switch to sport mode. It offers quicker response and more agility. It also enhances the natural sound of the engine. And with the world's first 8-speed dual clutch transmission with torque converter, it will respond instinctively to your will with rapid and smooth shifts. And in sport plus mode, the harder you drive, the more dynamic the TLX feels as it taps its full performance potential. So, come in and test drive the all-new 2015 Acura TLX with Sport Plus mode. It's that kind of thrill.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back to the Golf Club. We're just talking here with Mark Rolfing, who's about to leave because he's got a gazillion things to do, including an entire day of broadcasting. You amaze me, Mr. Rolfing. Bye. Okay. Mark is out of the room, and now we can talk really about Mark. All right, we're joined now. Alex Maselli is my co-host this morning. He is on, I'll do this. All right, we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KGU Honolulu. There's one AM and there's one FM. Kona Lanai City, let me start this over again for the FCC to do this right. KPUA Hilo, KGU AM Honolulu, KGU FM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. All right, now we're legal. It's serious.
We weren't legal before?
No.
Yeah.
No, the Federal Communications Commission wants us to do a legal ID. And so it has to be done during live radio every hour, at the top of the hour or as close to the top of the hour as possible.
Here, I thought everybody was scared of the IRS.
No, I don't want to upset, you know, we're really excited to be on a brand new station right now. A Wall Street Business Network has picked us up, and we're on a country western station on Kauai, we're on a classic rock station on Maui, we're on a Christian talk station on Oahu, and we're on a AM station, talk station, KPUA in Hilo. So right now, live, you are talking to all these people, and of course it's streaming live online, and I hope that William, you're listening, Bill, I thank you for all the retweets, and folks in London, they're listening, Scotland, howdy. Okay, we're here at the Sony Open in Hawaii, and Stephanie Way is joining us. Way Under Par is her website, where you can find out exactly what she thinks about, we're going to go to Lanai, I said we would, it's beautiful. Both of you, Alex Maselli, Golf Week senior writer and co-host of the Grill Room Golf Radio Show, he also was on Lanai, and we talked about the golf, but what about the accommodations? They're renovating everything. You stayed there, Stephanie.
Yes, I did. I stayed in the renovated wing of Four Seasons at Manili Bay, and it was spectacular. I didn't want to leave. They'd offered two nights. I should have taken them up on it. I only stayed overnight. It was absolutely bliss. I mean, it was luxury at its finest.
Yes, it was a Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd expect that, but it was nice that it was newly renovated. It was very fancy. I mean, the toilet had all these controls, and I mean, it was really the fanciest toilet I'd ever seen. And I told the marketing people there, you know, that you walk in, the toilet seat goes up. Program it. It's got all these fancy
all the
controls.
Features.
It was quite something.
The Kahala, which is right around the corner where a lot of people stay. Even the guests, the lobby restrooms have toilets which have all of the remote controls, so you can have, you know, for man, for woman, whether exactly. It's like a bidet, you know.
Yeah, and that's what it was like.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah. Would you like it warmer, cooler, whatever? It's amazing. So
it was great.
They sometimes people who go to the Four Seasons in New York City, and they expect luxury after that, and I think that's what they're trying to do on Lanai, create that level of luxury.
Oh, well, they've done a good job of it. I can't wait to see the renovations when they're finished with it. They were telling me about their plans for the pool and how they're going to make it closer to the water, but, you know, they've applied for permits, and you know, that gets a little bit touchy.
Well, it does, because they're so close to the ocean.
Yeah.
And the erosion factor
right.
is a huge problem.
You
know,
that's what
they're dealing with right now?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. But their plans sound very cool if it works out, and you know, it is a private island owned by Larry Ellison, correct? And it feels like you're on a private island.
Yes.
Because it's so secluded, and there aren't that many people. I mean, there were a dozen other people, felt like, there. Like, and it was really special. And the golf was great, too. Every hole has an ocean view. It was a fun Jack Nicklaus course. I enjoyed it. So it'll be exciting to see what they do. And then I wish I had time to go up to Lanai City to see the other Four Seasons property there. I hear that's very neat.
I love it because it's upcountry. It gets very cold. The lodge and the golf course there. When you play, did you notice the changes? I understand they did some subtle changes to the challenge at Manili.
Yeah, they cleared out some of the brush to be able to see a little better and things like that. But the changes that are going to be significant will be when they do something at Kola. You know, right now that course is out of commission.
Coeli?
Yeah, Coeli.
Yes.
Coelis, yeah. Mainlander.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to make sure.
And it's a Greg Norman course that actually Jack Nicklaus has gone through and come up with plans to completely change. But because of all the things they're doing on Lanai right now, they can't get to that yet. You know, it's not easy having that many people come over to Lanai, meaning workers.
Yes.
And, in fact, doing barges with all the equipment and everything else.
Yes.
So
tough being a billionaire.
Right. That's,
yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. So, but I mean, so unlike Stephanie, I spent a lot of time in Lanai City when I was over, and looked at the really most recently renovated movie theater, which if people have never been there, don't understand that back in the day when you went to the movies there, if there weren't enough people in the movie theater, they wouldn't make popcorn.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
So now it's certainly a much more substantial, I mean, it's probably one of the nicest movie theaters you're ever going to find. Huh. It is completely up to date.
What's the number of people that they wouldn't make? You have to have four?
Yeah, four or five, something like that. And they have two movies, they have two theaters in there of 93 people, but I guess it's just palatial inside. We couldn't get inside.
Wow, they've done that already.
He completely redid the store, which is really, there's really one really main store there, which I think was owned back in the day. By, is it Richards? I think it's Richards or Roberts, one of the two. I can't remember. But that store has been completely redone, so it's a very, very nice grocery store. They've done some other things, but the golf course is completely out of commission. So, but what was funny, and I never knew this, is that I always thought there were only 36 holes on Lanai, but there's not. There's 45 holes on Lanai.
There's a nine-hole
course? Yeah, where's the
nine-hole
course?
Which is called the Cavendish.
Oh!
Which they really actually call the Dish. if you're someone from Lanai, and they have a Lanai golf club, and it's a nine-hole course, and it is lined with cooked pine, like Coeli. Coeli.
Mm-hmm.
It's lined with cooked pines like Coeli. The greens are very nice. It's a very nice golf course, and if you come over to Lanai and you want to play that golf course, you pay exactly a donut to play it. Because it costs you nothing.
Wow. So I want to go play the Dish.
Yeah, me too. I want to go back to Lanai. But any excuse to go back to Lanai.
Yeah, so the course, the Coeli course, is going to be done. They're not getting it done. They're going to close it until it's done.
It is closed.
It's closed. The Lodge at Coeli, is that closed too, right?
It just closed about a week ago. And now it's going to be used to house all of the workers that are going to be doing all the work.
That was the big problem. Lanai is a small island, and it was pineapple, and they just needed a certain number of people to do the pineapple work in the pineapple field. So the little tiny city was plenty. I had one store, one theater. Everybody went to sleep at 8 o'clock because you got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. Right?
Wait. I'm not sure they all went to sleep at 8 o'clock.
Oh.
They were talking about how...
He's so specific.
when I was there, they were talking about how they have a barge that comes every Wednesday with all their supplies. And the week before, when I was there, the barge didn't come because of weather or something like that. And they were literally running out of supplies. We were at the restaurant, the golf course, and they're like, oh, we're running low on tomatoes. And, you know, it's a serious problem because they really are on an island. And they said the grocery store was absolutely empty. All the supplies were gone because the barge had been missed. And that really reminds you that you're on an island.
But I think what they want to try to do at some point, which
yes.
I think would be great, and it'll be probably not necessarily in our lifetime. But I think because there's – obviously they grew pineapples there. They would like to start in trying to create a situation of more farm-to-table where they could grow stuff on there and on the island. And personally, it's really, I mean, Maui does that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm more and more now. I think it's one of the best things. And Lanai could do that.
Yes.
And, you know, Larry Ellison, and the people have different views and opinions, but clearly from a lot of people you're talking to, and there's always going to be growing pains in these situations, he's doing a really good job. And I think he's doing a much better job than the people that owned it before, who basically lost all interest.
He actually listens to people and listens to their, you know, their concerns. He tries to address them. At least that's been my experience of hearing about what he's doing. Certainly some people don't like the wind farm idea. That's not gotten over well anywhere on the islands because it distracts so much from the general view plane.
But you can find, I mean, look, there's wind farms. There's a little wind farm on top of Maui on the hill. I've never even seen it, really, for so long.
If you do it right.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you do it right.
You can do a really good job. When it comes to Lanai, and just I have to make mention, we're on Oahu. You would never think that we'd run out of things, right, because we're constantly big container ships coming. But right now, the ILWU is in negotiations, the dock workers, and those talks aren't going well in Los Angeles and San Francisco, where our fruits and vegetables come from. And so we may have a stockpile of toilet paper, but whenever they find out that there's going to be a strike, the place empties. You know, Costco says, don't worry, we've got lots, we've got everything, you don't have to panic. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens the next couple of weeks.
Well, you know, we have the same problem in the mainland, too. There's a dock worker issue in Los Angeles.
Yes, they're the ones that don't supply us.
Right, yeah. And vice versa. And we can't get things in or out. So we have the same problem in certain cases. So there were things that were shortages for Christmas because we couldn't get them from Asia.
Huh.
There you go. See, we're worried about toilet paper, and you guys were worried about Christmas supplies.
Yes, exactly.
I'd be more worried about toilet paper, but I mean, I guess you can improvise. But what I'm curious about, sorry to go on a tangent, what happens to all those workers that work at the golf course and, you know, are work at the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens to them, you know, when the hotel is going under renovations? I mean, are they still... are they still being paid?
Ellison had guaranteed that he was going to keep them on payroll.
That's great.
What's interesting, too, is that golf course we talked about, the Coeli golf course.
Oh, the Coeli. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The responsibility of the maintenance of the dish is the same people who do the Coeli golf course, believe it or not.
Mm.
And so that means since there's nothing going on at the Coeli golf course, and they've killed the grass and everything else, and they've pulled up the irrigation, these guys have a lot of time to work on the dish. And so the dish is in the best shape it's been in a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably. The dish is probably immaculate right now.
So let me get this straight. This is a place where I can actually go and play it and not pay anything?
That's right.
So if I pay the extra money to go stay at the, what is it? I always think of the Lodge at Coeli. What is the one on the Challenge at Manelli?
The Four Seasons of Manali Bay.
Okay.
But there's 11, I think it's 11 or 12 room hotel right in Lanai City.
Oh.
You could stay there.
I'm sure they're like Airbnbs too, right?
Yeah. Don't talk about that though, because they may not be registered.
Oh.
And they may not be paying the taxes.
Oh, oops. I'm just saying,
just
it'd be so cool to go out there.
FCC, IRS.
Yeah, I know, right?
We just got to be careful.
All these government regulations, my God.
We're the beautiful Wailea Country Club. It's the 2015 Sony Open in Hawaii, and the leaderboard, it's great, with Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, and Justin Thomas. We talked about Justin Thomas earlier. Young man, he's a rookie on tour. And right now, from Golf Week, senior writer Alex Maselli, he says this kid is he's a major champion in the making.
Real deal?
The real deal?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I was walking down the range on Tuesday just talking to some of the veteran caddies and players, and I was saying, oh, I need to meet some of these new guys, and they pointed at Justin Thomas, and they all said, you go talk to him. He's the real deal.
He's the real deal.
And, you know, I loved out yesterday when he said he thought it was going to be twosomes, so he thought he wasn't going to be in the final group, but it was actually threesomes. But he was disappointed that he wasn't going to be in the final group. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think Alex did, too, because Alex was like, wait, you wanted to be in the final group?
Is that what you said, Alex?
Well, because usually, you know, the rookies, they don't want to be in that pressure kind of situation because there are more eyes on you. It's easier to be in the, you know, penultimate group. It's a little bit less pressure. But I thought that was very cool. He was like, no, I want to be in that position. And it was great when Alex was like, wait, let me clarify this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
because I was thinking the same thing as Alex.
Yeah.
That was cool. I liked his attitude.
Webb Simpson, he's back with a couple of questions I'm going to ask. I'm not sure what my time is because I don't have my clock with me. Caddies, should the Olympics be with caddies or without? Alex.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely with caddies or without?
Well, no, with caddies.
With caddies.
The only reason why the Olympics were even thinking maybe not is because of a housing issue. Because if you got 60 players, got to house 60 players and then 60 caddies, and the IOC is concerned about housing. That's the only reason why they didn't, you know.
They're talking about no caddies.
Right, but that's not going to happen.
That would never happen. I cannot imagine Tiger Woods carrying his own bag.
I can't either, but by the same token, it's not necessarily, excuse me?
It just went out.
Oh, no, you're on.
Oh, I am?
You're on. Webb Simpson comes to the course. He's playing with a regular
conventional length putter.
What are your thoughts on Stephanie, you first.
Well,
how hard is it to change?
I'm not sure. I've never made that change. I'm sure it's very hard after you're used to something, doing something for 10 years. That kind of becomes a part of you, and that's what he said. It was kind of his identity a little bit, and I don't know if I take it that far. But I guess it was. You know, when you think of Webb Simpson, you think of the belly putter a little bit. And
sure.
I thought it was hilarious that he said that he broke the belly putter over his knee last fall, so he couldn't take it with him to Japan. Sounds a little extreme what he's going through. He sounded very attached to that belly putter, but I understand there's a lot of pressure.
It's ritualistic.
Yeah, and golfers are so ritualistic and, you know, kind of borderline OCD about these things. So I get it. He had to go to extreme measures by breaking this putter so he wouldn't bring it with him.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it was funny. And, you know, he's been putting beautifully. Who knows if it'll last? I think a lot of it is mental. And now that he's off to a good start out here with the short putter, that might, you know, give him momentum and confidence moving forward.
Because ever since he won the U.S. Open, his game has not been, it was like he was on and up, and then he won the major, and then he sort of decline just a little bit.
He's not the best ball striker in the world either.
Okay. Alex?
It's hard to win golf tournaments.
I hear you.
But really, Alex?
Wait a second. It's hard to win golf tournaments.
Yes.
And when somebody looks at you, when you look at Tiger Woods, how many he's won versus how many, it's just interesting that we put him down as quickly as we do.
Right. Well, Tiger Woods is an outlier.
Aha.
He is.
Okay. Comparatively. So,
okay.
If we think about what golf was like before, it was, you know, there were a couple guys that would go on streaks. Nick Price, Greg Norman, Nick Faldo, but it wasn't that many, and it didn't go for long. So that's a whole different kettle of fish. But in the Webb Simpson case, I don't know, as Steph said, it's hard to tell any of us how hard it is to go ahead and putt conventionally after you've been putting with a long putter or a belly putter for a long period of time. But at least in Webb's case, he did putt with a conventional putter before. When he was younger and everything else. You take somebody like Tim Clark, who basically has never putted with anything.
That's not true.
For the last 17 years.
Well,
I mean,
college.
Yeah, well, to me, you
okay,
know, that's
well,
a big
yeah.
difference. And not only that, I think it's got to be a little different. I mean, the belly stroke is not a conventional stroke, but it at least has some relationship to a conventional stroke. The long putter stroke, when you put your hands up your top of your sternum, completely different. And so I think that would be a much more difficult transition.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. We've got 3 minutes left.